Hello and welcome to the first Science Chat episode of the new year 2012. I'm Sean Marshall. As a science communication podcast, I have in the past looked at some means of communication that are outside the norm, and one such means is the worldwide Café Scientifique movement, which has become a very important tool for science communication. I recently spoke to Maricar Jagger, public relations for the Café Scientifique in Portsmouth, which is part of this worldwide movement. Maricar, when did Café Scientifique start?
Well, we started in 2006, so it's been a while since. We've rather thought about it for a long time, because we've wanted to start it when I started working at the University of Portsmouth. But we were quite clear that because I was working in marketing, and of course, as a marketing person, we don't want to start anything on our own. We are very, because we're a university, we're very much led by the academics. So it wasn't until 2006 where we had quite a bit of a push, because we had a Brunel celebration and the city council was interested, and quite a few people started saying, we really want Café Scientifique in Portsmouth. So we started it.
And did the first event, did it have anything to do with Brunel, or was it just a good time to start it because of his bicentenary?
Well, it was just a good time to start it. I don't think we actually started with anything to do with engineering or Brunel per se. I think we had someone from Scotland who was talking about actually more along the lines of climate change, because that's the hot topic, and it still is the whole hot topic in science.
Of course, yeah. And how does the cafe work? What happens at an event?
We try to make Café Scientifique as relaxed as possible, because it's not going to be too hard or too difficult for people to come to. So we have it in a cafe, and at about, well, we in Portsmouth, we start at 8 o'clock. It can be in any format in different places. But what we do is, because we have a really nice cafe, people come in and have a bit of a dinner beforehand, and then at about 8 o'clock we start, and the speaker will have about 15, 20 minutes just to give us a flavor of what his expertise is, his or her expertise is on. And then the rest of the evening is actually just questions from the floor. So it makes it turns its head around on quite a lot of this type of event, where we tend to have the speaker speak for an hour and then that's it. And then in Café Scientifique, it's all about the questions that people have.
Yeah, and how often do you hold the events?
It's once a month in Portsmouth, and it tends to be once a month. We try to keep it regular so people know when it happens.
Okay, and who decides what events you're going to run at the cafe? Are you approached by scientists, or is it through requests from interested members of the public, or do you have like a group or a committee who decide what topics you'd like to pursue and then try and find somebody to speak about them?
Well, it's very much run in the kind of open and involved type of thing. So I invite people who come to Café Scientifique to give their suggestions. And then from their suggestions, I try my best to find the right speaker or speaker along the lines of what people are interested in. So I try my best to give what people are interested in, but from time to time, as you may well know, sometimes I listen to things on the radio or you know, anything that's a hot topic in science at that moment, and it's a combination of a few things.
And how many people are involved in the cafe as well as you? I mean, you're in charge of public relations.
Yes, I'm really is the administrator who runs it, because of the job that I do with the university. I run a lot of public events, so naturally it comes under what I do to do the administration. And really what I do is just trying to arrange the speakers. But But it's the ethos of the Café Scientifique is trying to feed people's curiosity about science. So we really it's a conversation. So the people who attend the sessions tell us what they want to hear, and I try my best to give the scientist or the expert in the area to talk about what they do in that particular topic. So, and each month we get in the region of between 30 to 60 people come to our Café site.
And is there much of an involvement from the rest of the university, or is it just that it happens to take place in conjunction with the university?
It is very much a university, within the university ethos of communicating with the community. And myself as the facilitator, if you like, in this process, I'm an administrator, and I'm actually come from a purely marketing background, but I have an interest in science. And we take into consideration things that perhaps university is expert on, or sort of helping in a kind of public understanding of quite a lot of things that we do in science and research. So as much as possible, I use the expertise within the university, but it's not restricted to that because the I think the what we're trying to do is a lot bigger than just trying to promote what the university does, and the university does quite a lot of science things, but we also believe in bringing in expertise and to the region, to the city, to where we are. So it's quite an open approach, I'd say.
And how is the cafe funded?
Now, this is quite an interesting one, because a lot of people are a bit worried about starting a Café Scientifique. I would say, and I truly believe, that people need to put the money where their mouth is. And so if people are interested, we say, come along to the cafe. And if each person put about, we hand a bucket around, or a hat around, if you like, and I say, if you want, and this is very democratic, and I said, if you want to keep this thing happening, then treat it as if you buy the speaker a pint or a glass of wine. So each person put in £2 or £3 into the bucket, and actually over the period we keep some amount of money. So it really is coming from everyone who attended. They put a few pounds in the bucket, and that's how we pay for it.
Okay, and do you have to pay for the location that you hold it in, or is the location part of the university?
No, it's a local cafe that we use. We're very lucky that they're very, very interested in having a little bit of trade in the evening. And as they found out a little bit more about Café Scientifique, they're very interested in the cafe and what we do as well. So we're very fortunate on that front. In other places, there are about 60 cafes in the whole of the United Kingdom, and quite a bit more all around the world. And different cafes run quite differently. And some places charge for it, some places. So we run the cafe as best that would fit our local circumstances, if you like. So we've been very fortunate, because the few pounds that people put on into the bucket, and the kindness and the flexibility that the cafe has given us, we've managed to make it work.
And you said earlier that you get roughly 30 people at the events. Do you find that it's the same people who attend all of the time, or do you have different? Is there different people who attend? Do you find it's the same faces for every event?
Not always, not always. Yeah. I would say about, you can split the audience into three types. So a third would be the regulars. They come all the time. they like the setup, they're comfortable with the setting, they come whatever topic you put in front of them. And then you have the ones that come because the particular topics really fit with their interests. So if they're interested in, for example, sports science, and we have sports science once a year, then you'll see them once and then not see them again. And then there's a third who is sort of, because we are a university, there are some lecturers and there's some students who would kind of come and go, but kind of quite loyal, so they come to a bit more than just what is in the area that they're doing, that they're working on, but not as often as some people who would come every month.
And do you have any way of measuring the success, or do you ask people for feedback?
I've always maintained it's a two-way process, so I try as much as possible to make sure that it's laid back enough, it's relaxed enough, and that I'm approachable enough that people can say, oh, last week was great, or last week was not so great, and that sort of thing. So I kind of open the gate a little bit for people to give feedback. And I don't know, we've always felt with Cafe Scientifique, it's a two-way process. So I try to give people what they want to hear, and they can let me know what they think, you know, whether I've given them what they wanted to know. So I hope we have a dialogue on you know, what that we provide what it is that people want to have, and they at the same time feel that they can let me know what, you know, we would like to hear a little bit more about physics, or we want to know more about climate change, and we have a bit of a conversation what people are really interested in knowing about science.
Yeah, I suppose it's something that it's very hard to measure whether it's a success or not. But I guess when you have regular people coming back and you always get a reasonable amount of people to make it worthwhile holding the event, I suppose that's really as successful as it ever can be, really.
Yeah, I try to be very careful about, sometimes I think, I work in marketing and we can make a mistake in terms of always counting in terms of numbers. There is qualitative and there's quantitative thing about in any case. And I've always maintained for something like Cafe Scientifique, it's quite a different format than other things that we do. I run the public lecture series in the university, and sometimes a lecture can bring in like 300 people. Now, that wouldn't really work with Cafe Scientifique, because the idea is that there should be a dialogue. And having run this since 2006, I realized that in order for a dialogue to happen, everybody in the room has to be quite comfortable. There's no feeling that there's any judgment whether your question is a stupid question or a clever question. And from that perspective, the smaller and the more intimate numbers, the better it works. In fact, at one time we actually had we failed to get a speaker, and in the end we ended up with just about 20 of us sitting around in a big table. And I said, I'm sorry, I couldn't get a speaker in, but can we just talk about science and what you have heard in the news and all that? And we actually had the best session. One of the best sessions I can think of, because it was small enough, people were free enough to voice their opinion or to ask the questions that they really want to get off their chest. And actually we had the best time. So I cannot say, you know, of course, sometimes in some aspects people like to know, the bigger the numbers, the better. And I said, no, actually, it really depends on what you're trying to achieve. And as far as Cafe Scientifique is concerned, the 30 is really quite optimum, I think, because it's big enough for it to have a buzz. but it's small enough for people to ask the question they really want to ask.
And when is the next event taking place?
Well, our next one is on the 24th of January. We try to keep it really regular so that people know when it happens, whether you have a diary in your hand or not. So ours is every fourth Tuesday of the month. And we have a professor from Bristol, and he's going to talk about flavor and taste. Now, we all love food, and we think we know what we are eating and all that sort of, and what we like and what we don't like. But he's going to look at the scientific aspect of it. And so it's slightly more than what you already know.
And what's the easiest way for my listeners to find out more about the events that you run at the cafe? Do you have a mailing list or anything, or is it just through, is the best way to find you just through the University of Portsmouth website?
Well, if your listeners come from Portsmouth and the surrounding area, I would say, yes, please find Portsmouth Cafe Sci. I'm on Twitter, I'm on the university website. I think we're quite well known in the region. But like I said, there are about 60 groups in the UK and quite a few more around the world. That we have groups in the US, in Japan, in Africa. So there's bound to be one near you. And if there isn't one, do start one. It's all about, you know, if you want it, it's there. There are quite a lot of experts and willing speakers all around the world. And I would just say go to cafescientific.org.uk and you'll find there's a really good map and it tells you where the nearest one is. We're not very competitive in the sense that I don't particularly expect you to come to my cafe instead of the other cafe, you know, 30 miles down the road. I think it's all about knowledge and what we want, and we want you to feed your curiosity in as comfortable a setting as you like. So if there isn't one near you, maybe you want to start one. But if there's one near you, come and have a look.
Okay, and on that note, I'd like to thank you very much, Mary Carr, for talking to Science Chat today.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity, and it's great to talk about something that I'm quite passionate about.
Well, that's it for another episode of Science Chat. You can find out more about the Café Scientifique in Portsmouth on the University of Portsmouth website. You can also find them on Twitter at PortsCaféSci. And as usual, you can find out more about this and other Science Chat episodes at www.sciencechat.net/WordPress.